Well, if you have been with us the last few weeks, you know at the beginning of December, we started a Christmas series titled Forever Christmas. And as you can probably tell from the slide that we're going to put up here on the screen, it's based off of the famous Christmas scripture found in Luke 2:11, which says this: "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And each week we've talked about the fact that because of this truth, because of what it tells us in Luke 2, because this Savior was born, Christmas isn't just a once a year thing. Christmas is forever. And for those who choose to follow Jesus, those who have made him Lord and Savior of their life, it is forever Christmas. Now, the series that we're in, it lines up with the season of Advent and the candles that we've been lighting each week. A few weeks ago, we lit the first candle that represented the hope of Christmas. And we talked about the fact that because of Jesus and the fact that he was born into this world some 2,000 plus years ago, we can now forever experience his hope. And then last week, we lit the candle that represents peace. And we talked about the fact that because of Christmas, we can now forever experience his peace in our life, a peace that passes all understanding. And then earlier this morning, we lit the candle that represents joy. And thank you, Zach, for lighting that candle for us. I forgot to say thank you in that moment. But because of that, now today we're going to talk about the joy that we can forever have because of Christ's love for us and at Christmas. Now, that word joy, it sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? It's something that I think all of us want to experience. We all want to experience joy. Well, the reality is it's something that God offers to everyone. All of us can experience it. But I think the question we have to address is, what is it? Right? What is the joy that we hear people talk about it at Christmas time? Now, before we answer that, let me just share a quick illustration with you. A primary school teacher of 38 years once shared this story. She said, "One day I was trying to teach my students the difference between happiness and joy. They seemed to understand, so I suggested that maybe they could write about the color of happiness and the color of joy, and then tell some of the things that they thought would bring them the feelings of happiness and the feelings of joy." They were all excited, and they had used the whole gamut of colors to express themselves. It was a very enlightening morning, she said. However, one little boy said that he was sure that joy was black. She was devastated. I was sure that he was depressed and totally without joy. So I invited him to come give me a private audience, come and I'd be a private audience, and he could tell me how he came to this conclusion. He said, "Well, Mrs. Lane, you told us that happiness was something that you felt when you went to a birthday party or when you went on vacation or got a new pair of shoes, but that it didn't usually last. Then you said that joy was something deep inside of you that nobody could ever take away from you. So I figured if it was deep inside of you, that it's got to be dark, so it must be black." Now, this boy's explanation, it seems to make sense, right? I mean, from a perspective of a kid, if it's inside you, it should be black. You can understand how he came to this idea. But as we look at this idea of joy, I think it's important for us to understand that joy is not happiness, because that's a lot of times what we think of. Joy and happiness, they're two completely different things. You see, happiness, it's an emotion, right? It's something that we experience based on the circumstances that are going on around us. If things are going well, if things are good, then we often experience happiness. If things aren't going so well, then we often aren't experiencing happiness. But joy is different. Joy is not an emotion. It's actually part of the fruit of the Spirit. Many of us are familiar with Galatians 5 and 2, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? It names off some of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I may have missed one, I'm not sure, but these are the attributes of God Himself. This is who He is. He is love. Right? He is joy. He is peace. He doesn't just do these things or show these things. He is these things. It's who He is. And it's in and through Him that we're able to experience this joy that we talk about at Christmas. And like I said earlier, because of what Jesus did for us at Christmas, we can forever experience His joy. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. I want to look at joy from three different perspectives, if you will. And so the first perspective I want to look at is this. I want to look at the joy of Christmas past. Now, the joy of Christmas past, I think this is the way most people view joy when they think about the joy of Christmas. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Luke chapter 2. Again, this is where our main scripture for the series is found, but we're going to read a few extra scriptures this morning in Luke 2 like we did last week. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. We're going to read Luke 2, 8 through 11. Now, I'm going to read it out of the King James Version, and that's because when you hear this story, I grew up with it out of the King James Version. When you watch Charlie Brown's Christmas, Linus shares it from the King James Version. So it's kind of what's been ingrained in my head, and so I wanted to read it the way I know it. If you follow along and you have a different translation, it may sound a little different words, but it means and it's saying the same thing. But this is Luke 2, 8 through 11 from the King James Version. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that's where we're going to stop this morning. But you see there, in verse 10, the angels declare, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This here is the joy of Christmas past. The fact that some 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus stepped out of heaven, came to this earth to fulfill a promise that He had made near the beginning of creation. It fulfills what God told Adam and Eve way back in Genesis chapter 3. Now, if you've been with us for a little while, you know that before we started our Christmas series, we've been in a series that's been taking us through the Bible. We actually just finished up the Old Testament right before we got into our Christmas series. But we actually started this series back in March of 2018. That's how long it's taken us to get through just the Old Testament. And it was actually in that second or third week, so mid-March or late March, early April, that I talked about the fall of man, where Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord and allowed sin to enter our world. And that moment in time, it changed everything for humanity. Because Adam and Eve, before then, had once walked and talked freely with God in the garden. It says, if you remember, they were naked and unashamed, right? They were able just to communicate with God. Everything was perfect. There was no sin. There was no pain. There was no hurt. There were none of those things before the fall. But now their sin had separated them from God. And they were about to be banished from the garden, left to live in a fallen, broken, and conflicted world. But before God sent them away, He shared a glimpse of hope for the future of mankind. And we see it when he addresses Satan. When he comes and he talks to all three of them, right? When he addresses Satan, who had come to Adam and Eve in the form of a serpent and tempted them to eat of the apple or of the fruit. I should say, we always say apple, but it wasn't an apple, it was a fruit. But I want to share with you what Jesus said to Satan in that moment. In Genesis 3:15, he says this: "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." And what he's saying in this scripture, God is telling Satan that one of Eve's offspring, somewhere down the line, somewhere down the road, one of her offspring will crush your head. And this scripture at the beginning of creation, it's a foreshadowing of what Jesus would eventually do. Because the Jesus of Christmas entered the world as a baby. But that baby grew up to fulfill this promise. He became the Jesus of Easter. The Jesus who died on the cross and rose again, thus delivering that crushing blow to Satan that God had talked about so many, many, many years ago. As I mentioned, Adam and Eve's sin, when they sinned, it changed everything for humanity, right? But here's the thing. The joy of Christmas past comes from the fact that Jesus re-changed everything. I don't know if that's actually a word or not, but that's my word. He re-changed everything. He changed it back. He fixed it. He restored things. He redeemed humanity. Listen to what Paul tells us in Romans 5:18. "Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people," the trespass of Adam and Eve, their sin, right? It caused condemnation for all people. "So also one righteous act," Jesus coming to this earth, dying on the cross, "resulted in justification and life for all people." That is the joy of Christmas past. The fact that for unto us is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. Which leads to the second aspect of joy I want to talk about, the joy of Christmas present. Now in verse 10 again it says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," right? And the thing we have to realize is that "all" was talking about everybody. And that's everybody that lived back then when he arrived. But it's also everybody that has lived since then, that is living now, and everybody that will ever live. Jesus came for all humanity. He came so that all of us, every one of us, could experience new life in him. And the joy of Christmas present is the reality that everyone can experience his joy still today. And as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of the old Christmas song, "Go Tell It on the Mountain." Let me read you the lyrics of that chorus. They say this: "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, our Jesus Christ is born." And I share this song because I think that's the joy of Christmas present. It's going and telling others about the joy that we've experienced because of Christmas, in hope that they might experience it with us today. If you were here last week, we talked about the fact that when Jesus left, he promised the Father would send us a gift, would send us the Holy Spirit. And if you've been around here for very long or done any reading in Acts, you know that there was a reason he sent us the Holy Spirit. It comes up in my messages quite frequently. I talk about it all the time, and it's found in Acts 1:8. Where Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and Dallas and Independence, Fall City, and to the ends of the earth. The joy of Christmas past was Emmanuel, right? God with us, who came into this world and changed the life of humanity. But the joy of Christmas present is not just God with us. It's now God in us. It's about the Holy Spirit who empowers us to go into all the world and to share that joy that we've experienced in our own lives. The joy of what he's done for all of us. The joy of Christmas present is about fulfilling the mission. The mission that he's given all of us to go. Right? Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it in your neighborhoods. Go tell it in your workplace, in your schools, wherever you go. Let his light shine through you. But remember this. As we go, it's joy that we are to bring to the world. It's joy that we are to share. Just remember that. Jesus didn't come into this world and start pointing fingers and telling people how wretched and sinful they were. And you better get your life together or you're going to burn in hell. You better pay attention, people. Right? That's not how Jesus came. He didn't belittle them for their failures. He didn't belittle them if they didn't even know who he was. Instead, he came into this broken world. And he loved people right where they were at. He met them in their brokenness. And he offered them grace and mercy. You see, we don't find joy in religion. We find it in relationship. Relationship with our Savior. We find it in knowing that we have a Savior who came into this world 2,000 plus years ago to pour out his grace and his mercy on our lives. And we find it in knowing that his same grace and mercy is available to each of us today. And we find it in the future that we will someday experience in his presence, which leads me to my third perspective of joy, which I'm sure you can guess what it is. The joy of Christmas future. Earlier in worship, we sang what has become a very popular Christmas song throughout the world. The song, Joy to the World. It's a great song. I love it. But did you know that the song Joy to the World was not actually written as a Christmas song? It was written by Isaac Watts back in 1719. And when he wrote it, it wasn't written as a Christmas song. It wasn't even written as a song. It was actually written as a poem. And it was originally published in a book called The Psalms of David, imitated in the language of the New Testament. It was poetry trying to bring the Bible into language that people could understand. And this poem that spoke of joy to the world was actually a paraphrase of the 98th Psalm. Which, interestingly enough, is not about Christmas. It's not about the first coming of Christ. It's actually about his second coming, the return of Christ. You see, when Jesus came the first time, if you think about it, you think about the words of joy to the world. When he came the first time, the earth didn't receive her king. Did it? You see, when Jesus came the first time, he didn't come as our reigning king. In John 1:11, it tells us he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He didn't come as our reigning king. Instead, he came as a servant. He came to serve. When he came the first time, he didn't come to abolish sin once and for all. He came to atone for sin. To forgive us of our sin. He came to pay the price for it with his own blood. In John 18:36, Jesus told Pilate when he stood before him, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, My servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom it's from another place. Jesus didn't come the first time in the way that many had expected him to come or thought that he would come. That first time it was a precursor. It was a precursor of what he's been working on since the day of the fall. And he's been waiting and preparing for that day when he will come and return to this earth once and for all. This is the joy that Isaac Watts was referring to when he originally wrote the poem Joy to the World. The joy that second coming of Jesus will bring for all of us when the earth finally receives her King, where every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, as I've mentioned, this series aligns with the lighting of the Advent candles. And each week as we light the candle for that day, I take a moment to talk about Advent. And so you've heard me say numerous times that the word Advent actually means coming or arrival. And so the focus of the Advent season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus and his first arrival here on this earth. But it's also the anticipation of Jesus's return, his second coming, that Isaac Watts wrote about in Joy to the World. You see, the joy of Christmas future is knowing that once again, Jesus will return. There will be a day when he comes back and brings complete restoration to this fallen and broken world. And it's in this hope and anticipation of Christmas future that we can experience his joy. You see, the amazing thing about the Bible is that it tells us the end of the story, right? We know the end of the story. And anyone who know or has read the Bible knows that in the end, God is victorious. He wins. And anyone who follows him will join in that victory. And will someday get to experience the utter joy of being in his pure and perfect presence without sin, without hurts, without pain, without struggles. Can you imagine such a day? As I was studying this for this message, I came across an excerpt from a book titled 90 Minutes in Heaven. I want to share with you this morning just a little excerpt from that book. It says this. So this is a guy, he talks about going, this experience that he had, a dream or whatever, of going to heaven. He says, "Joy pulsated through me as I looked around. And at that moment, I became aware of a large crowd of people. They stood in front of a brilliant, ornate gate. People I had known. As they surged toward me, I knew instantly that all of them had died during my lifetime. They rushed toward me and every person was smiling, shouting and praising God. A number of people came and greeted me. And then I heard, 'Donnie.' That's what my grandfather always called me. My eyes lit up and he held out his arms as he took the steps toward me. He embraced me, holding me tightly. He was once again the robust, strong grandfather I had remembered as a child. You see, I had been with him when he suffered a heart attack at home and had ridden with him in the ambulance. I had been standing just outside the emergency room at the hospital when the doctor walked out and faced me. He shook his head and said softly, 'I'm sorry, we did everything we could.' My grandfather there then released me, and as I stared into his eyes, an ecstatic bliss overwhelmed me. I didn't think about his heart attack or his death or any of that stuff, because I couldn't get past the joy of our reunion." What a beautiful picture, huh? Not sure exactly what it was, but as I read that part, there was something about that phrase, "I couldn't get past the joy of our reunion." To think of a future with no pain, no more sorrow, just the joy of being reunited with him, being in his presence. the joy of true, perfect relationship with God and with one another, with nothing in between us. Well, that person said this about me, and this person and I have struggles with them. And, you know, none of that. All that goes away. Just the joy of being with God and with one another. It's amazing to know that future is available to every single one of us. And the truth is such a powerful, and this truth is such a powerful reality, because when it comes to the joy of Christmas future, I can't think of a greater joy than the assurance that God is in control. Someday we will be with Him and all that will be gone. But until then, as we look to the future, God is in control. I can't think of a greater joy than knowing that even though we live in a fallen, broken world, as we look to the future, we know that God has it all worked out. He knows what each of us are dealing with. He knows the different struggles and difficulties that we face day in and day out. And the thing is, he's not just sitting back going, that one's interesting. I wonder how that's going to work out. Right? That's not how the Lord sees things. He knows how it's going to work. He knows what's going to happen. And He has a plan in the midst of whatever happens. In the midst of the tragedies and the difficulties and the challenges of this world, He has a plan in whatever it is. Which reminds us of Romans 8:28, that talks about the fact that all things work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so we can hold on to that because of what Jesus did for us, because of what He started at Christmas some 2,000 plus years ago. We can forever experience His joy in our lives. And it's a joy of Christmas past, a joy of Christmas present, and a joy of Christmas future. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for this opportunity to gather together to celebrate Christmas, the season of Christmas, Lord. The reality is Christmas is forever, Lord. Every day can be Christmas as a follower of Christ. But Lord, this season that we're in, we celebrate that day. We celebrate the day that You came into this earth and changed everything, Lord. You restored the brokenness that was brought to this world. You gave an opportunity for us to have new life in You. You gave the opportunity for us to experience things on this earth that we could have never experienced. The fact that we can now experience Your hope. We can experience Your peace. We can experience Your joy, Your love in the midst of what goes on around us, regardless of our circumstances. And that is an amazing thing, Lord. And we are so thankful for what You did at Christmas, Lord. The fact that You stepped out of heaven. You stepped out of all the glories of heaven with no pains, no hurts, nothing. And You came into this world and You experienced what we experienced, Lord. The hurts and the pains and the struggle of this world. And in it all, You died on the cross for our sins, Lord, so that we could have life in You. And so we are so thankful for You and the joy that You have brought to this world. The joy of Christmas past, the joy of Christmas present, Lord, that we know today we can still experience that joy. And we can share that joy with others. We can go tell it on the mount. We can go tell it wherever we go through our lives, Lord, as we let Your joy shine through us. And we are so thankful for the joy of Christmas future, Lord, a day when we will someday be with You forever, and all the hurts and all the pains will forever be gone. We thank You that we can look forward to these things, Lord. We thank You for Your word that shares with us the story, and that we can see that in the end, You are victorious, Lord. And we want to share in that victory with You. And so, Lord, my prayer today is this, is that the hope, the peace, the joy of Christmas, it comes to those who know You. To those who have made You Lord and Savior in your life, because it comes from Your presence alive in us. And Lord, maybe there are people in this room today that don't have a relationship with You, that haven't said yes to You. And my simple prayer this morning is that people would see Your love, people would see your grace and would choose to accept you as their Lord and Savior. And so we thank you for these things, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our life. We pray that you would continue to draw us to you. Continue to help us experience Christmas, not just in December, but forever in our lives because of what you've done for us. We thank you for these things. We give them to you. May you allow them to penetrate our hearts and to speak to each of us where we're at today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.